So today's daf is daf Ches Amud Aleph, and the Gemara says the following on the top of the daf: Ulamai de Salka Daitoch Mei Kara. We had Abaye originally back on daf Zion, and he understood in the tradition of Rabbi Yirmia in the name of Rav, who says that a Mavui shenifratz lechotzer, so you have this mavui and it goes into a chotzer, and on the other side, at the other end of the chotzer, it opens up into Rishus HaRabim, and Rav says it's asur. And that applies in both cases, whether or not there was an eruv between the Bnei Chotzer and the members of the mavui, or if there was no eruv. And Abaye understood in Rav that we were talking about a Mavui Mefulosh, which means that if you look down the alleyway from Rishus HaRabim through the entrance of the alleyway, the main entrance, you will see at the other end a Rishus HaRabim on the other side. And that makes it into a Mavui Mefulosh that's open up on both ends to Rishus HaRabim. And this has nothing to do with the absence of an Eruv. However, Rabbi Yehuda said that in a case where the Mavui, in this particular case, the Mavui is Asur, unless there's an Eruv with the Bnei HaChotzer, so the Mavui itself is Asur. However, there's no Iser of Mavui Mefulosh. Even if, at the very end of the Mavui, beyond the Chotzer, it's opened up into Rishus HaRabim. And we therefore came to the conclusion that that statement of Yehuda was in the name of Shmuel. It could not be reconciled with Rav. And as a result, we have a double machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Bein she'eravu, bein shelo eravu pligi. Whether or not the people in the Mavui had an eruv with the Bnei HaChotzer or they did not, in both cases, we're going to have a machlokes. As we discussed back on Daf Zayin Amid Beis, if there was an Eruv between the Bnei HaChotzer and the Bnei HaMavui, then there's going to be a debate here in the case where, as we said before, the Chotzer at the very end opens up into Rishus HaRabim, would that Mavui be classified as a Mavui Mefulosh because it starts at one end in Rishus HaRabim and ends at the other end in Rishus HaRabim? In which case, Mavui is not going to help you, and that's going to be the Shita of Rav. So therefore, even if there was an Eruv between the Bnei HaChotz and the Bnei HaMavui, it's not going to help you according to Rav. It's still going to be Asur because of the din of Mavui Mefulosh. If, on the other hand, there was no Eruv between the Bnei HaChotz and the Bnei HaMavui, then there's going to be a Machlokes. Even if the Chotzer was not open at its end into Rishus HaRabim. And that's an inner machlokas within the context of the laws of Erevin. And that machlokas reflects on the question whether or not the Chotzer generates an Isra on the Mavui in the absence of an Erev. So the Gemara now wants to know, Be'erevu b'may pligi, u'bishalo erevu b'may pligi. What is the machlokas in the case where they did make an Eruv, and that was a machlokas whether or not we view this Mavui as Mefulosh, Rav says yes and Shmuel says no. And in the case of Lo Eruvu, where Rav says that in the absence of an Eruv, the Bnei HaChotzer would not generate an Iser on the Mavui, and Shmuel says no. The Bnei HaChotzer will generate an Isa on the Mavui that can only be solved by an Eruv. So let's just mention the following introduction to the next Gemara, where the Gemara is going to analyze the double machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. In a case where Rishus HaYachid, one of its various mechitos, is breached, and there's no Tzuras HaPesach, that breach, that opening in one of the various mechitzos that surround Rishus HaYom generates an Isur Tiltul. Unless the following two conditions are met. Condition number one, that opening, that breach, is less than a width of 10 amos. And number two, there's still something left to the mechitza, although again, it was broken through, but on the sides, here and there, right and left, there's still some shirayim, some vestige of the mechitzos. And if you have both of these conditions, then instead of defining the opening the breach as a pirtza, we define it as a pesach. And a chatzer could have many psachim, and therefore there's no iser on this rishus. So again, a chatzer, if it has mechitzos, could open up into rishus harabim. It could even have many openings, multiple openings into rishus harabim, as long as each one of these openings is classified and defined as a pesach. If on the other hand, it's wider than the opening is wider than 10 amos, or if the opening covers from right to left the entire area, there's nothing left to that kosel, then it becomes a pirtza. Now, there are occasions, and that's what we're going to get into in our sugya, where the second condition that we mentioned, that there's still some vestige, some left over to the mechitza on both sides, can be witnessed from one angle, but not from another angle. In other words, if I'm standing, say for example, if the chatzer is wider than the mavui, if I'm standing in the chatzer, from my perspective, I can see that the kosel goes beyond the opening of the mavui to the right and to the left. So I see the so-called shirayim, the leftovers of both on both sides of the mechitza. But if I'm standing on the outside, let's say outside the chatzer, but inside the mavui, I look down the mavui and I don't see any vestige, anything left to the mechitzas. So there's two different perspectives. And the question is, how do we judge this? Is it called a pirtza or is it called a pesach? Because from the perspective of those who are standing in the chatzer, they can see the two sides, therefore it's a pesach. But from the perspective of someone standing in the mavui, he doesn't see those vestiges, and therefore from his perspective, it's a pirtza. One more introduction before we go on, and that is that if a mavui had a mechitza separating it from the chatzer beyond the mavui, on the other side of the mavui, and there was no pesach, there was no entranceway between connecting the mavui into the chatzer, then the bnei chatzer, those who spill over from their various houses into the common courtyard, never actually partner up with the mavui, because they're separated from the mavui because of a mechitza between the mavui and the chatzer. Now, if all of a sudden a breach is open, and there's a possibility for the bnei hachatzah now to enter into this open area where the kosel fell and enter into the mavui, then in such a case, since in the original state the bnei hachatzah had no access to the mavui, now they do have access, but they don't generate an iser on the bnei hamavui. So the bnei hamavui could continue using their mavui and being metaltal there as they did before the kosel was breached, and that doesn't even require an eruv, because since there was no regilus for on the part of the bnei chatzer to use the mavui, they were excluded from the mavui when the kosel was up, then we say they don't have rites of passageway through the mavui, and therefore they don't generate an iser on the mavui. Again, these are all concepts that will make more sense as we get more familiar with Masechta Eruvin. Now, if they didn't open up an opening in the mechitza, let's say nifritza mechitza shebein hamavui lechatzer b'meloa, if on the other hand, although initially there was no entrance way from the chatzer into the mavui, and now there's a breach, if that breach is total from side to side, then there's nothing that reminds us of what the situation was like beforehand, and then einachinami, those who live in the chatzer, would generate an iser on the mavui until the bnei mavui establish an eruv together with the bnei chatzer. So now let's go on in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to analyze this twofold machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Bishalo Erevu, if there was no Erev between the Bnei HaChatzar and the Bnei HaMavui, and let's assume right now there's no Pirtza at the end of the Chatzar that would take you directly from the Mavui out into the Rishus Rav beyond the Chatzar, is Pligi B'din Nirem Mibachutz V'Shav B'Bifnim. The Machlokas now between Rav and Shmuel revolves around the question that we mentioned earlier, where on the sides of the wall that fell, there are still Shiarim, there are still Shiraim of the Mechitza, those vestiges of the original Mechitza can only be seen, as we said before, for someone who's standing outside of the Mavui. He's standing in the Chatzar. He sees, because again, the coast of the Chatzar was longer than the opening to the Mavui, so he now, standing in the Chatzar, sees the Shiraim. However, although that would allow those who are sharing the chatzer to use the chatzer and take from the house to the chatzer and back and forth, but it doesn't have an impact on the Bnei HaMavui necessarily, because the Bnei HaMavui, they see a total pirtza from side to side. They don't, from their perspective, they don't view any vestiges, any shirayim of the original mechitza. And that's going to be the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel in a case of a mavui, and the wall separating the Mavui with the Chatzar broke, and now we have the opinion of Shmuel and the opinion of Rav. Shmuel says that even though, as far as the Chatzar is concerned, we're going to define that breach in the wall as a Pesach, not as a Pirtza, because from the perspective of the Chatzar you could see the Shiraim on both sides, but as far as the Mavui is concerned, that opening, that breach, is now called a pirtza. And now the Mavui becomes a Mavui shenifrats bimaloo. It's totally par, it's totally open, no barriers into the chatzer. And therefore, those who live in the chatzer will generate an isur on the Bnei Mavui. Whereas Rav says, no, it's an either-or situation. If you're defining it from the perspective of the chatzer, where they see the Shiraim as a Pesach, then it's a Pesach in both directions. There's no such thing, according to Rav, as a relative Pesach. If it's a Pesach and not a Pirtza, as far as the Bnei HaChatzar is concerned, then Hu Adin, the same thing applies as far as the Bnei HaMavui is concerned. It's called a Pesach, and it's not called a Pirtza. And therefore, this Mavui that opens up into a Chatzar, and as we said before, the members of the Chatzar had no right of passageway through the Mavui until there was a breach in the Kosel. Then since that breach is called a Pesach, therefore we consider as if the Bnei HaChatzar have no passageway, have no rights of passage, which is called Dayarel Regilim. In other words, a kind of Drisas Regal. They don't have that, and therefore the Bnei HaChatzar did not generate an Iser on the Bnei HaMavui. That's Machlokas number one. Now we get to Machlokas number two. And that's a case where there was an Eruv between the Bnei HaChatzar and the Bnei HaMavui. And now we have a case where on the other side of the Chatzar, going out to Rishus HaRabim, there was a Pirtza, and you can see from the entranceway into the Mavui, straight through to the Chatzer and out to the Rishus HaRam on the other side. And called Miflegi Bidder Rav Yosef. And they argue about the din of Rav Yosef. The Omer Rav Yosef, Lo Shanu. We don't have the statement of Rav Yehuda, which is called Mavui Shekola L'Rechava. And we said that the Rechava was that open area behind the houses, not in front of the house. And then Nifritza HaRechava. Kenegdo. When do we say that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, even though when you enter into the Mavui from Rishus HaRabim, you could see through the Rechava out into the Rishus HaRabim on the other side because it was Nifritza, and you don't need any tikkun at all, says Rav Yehuda, meaning on the other side you don't need a tikkun. Ela shekola li emtza rechava. That only applies when the Mavui and the Rechava are two separate entities. It's what you call Nikar. Nikar means it's obvious that the Mavui ends in the Rechava. So the Rechava is the end of the Mavui. And the Rechava, as we said many times, is surrounded with four Mechitzos. So basically you have a Mavui that ends in a Rishus HaYachid. And if so, it's not called a Mavui Mefulash. And that was the statement of Rabbi Yehuda that ain't Tzarech Tikkun. And there's no problem here. Ein chashash al yidei shenatir mavui zeh. He says there's no way that we should be afraid that this situation is similar to a case of a mavui mefulash. Why? Because in a mavui mefulash, it's clear that the two ends of the mavui spill into Rishus HaRabim. But here, it's quite clear to the onlooker that the opening of the mavui at the other end spills into the Rechava, and the Rechava now becomes a separate entity, so it's not a Mavui Mefulash. We don't have to worry about the Pirtza on the other side of the Rechava that opens up into Rishus HaRabim. Aval kola litzidei HaRechava Asur. But here's a case, and again, a diagram here is very helpful. Here's a case where the opening between the Mavui and the Rechava is on one side of the Rechava. It's not down the middle of the Rechava. And as a matter of fact, the wall on the left side, let's say, of the Mavui, continues directly into the Rechava, which would not be the case if Emtza Rechava. This is only on Tzidei Rechava. So basically, you cannot separate now, says Rav Yosef, between the Mavui and the Rechava. It's all one, because there's one wall that takes you from the beginning of the Mavui to the end of the Rechava, continues into the Rechava, because now it's the Pirtza is on the side of the Rechava. And in such a case, this Mavui is Asur. And here's going to be the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Shmuel thinks, the way Rav Yosef explained to him, that in the case where the Mavui ends in the middle of the Rechava, that's not similar to the Mavui Mefulash, because we see, as we said before, it's Nikar, that the Mavui and the Rechava are two separate entities. So this is a Mavui that ends in a Rishus HaYachid. It's not at all similar to a Mavui Mefulash. And that's going to be the Shita of Shmuel. Rav, on the other hand, holds that even in a case where the Mavui ends right there in the middle of the Rechava, since if you would stand at the entranceway into the Mavui and look straight ahead as the crow flies, as the arrow flies, what you would see is the Rishus HaRabim on the other end, therefore it has the din of a Mavui Mefulash. All this, my friends, just to summarize everything that we learned, is an explanation of the Machlokes between Rav and Shmuel according to Abaye, who at the beginning of the sugya maintained that machlokes chin Rav and Shmuel. L'maskonas ha-Gemara, we don't accept Abaye. We don't believe that there's a machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Everybody agrees and accepts the shita of Rav, and a mavui that ends up in the middle of the Rechava is not going to be considered a mavui mefulash. Eino nidon ki mefulash. And in the question of Nirim Mibachutz V'Shav Mibfnim, it's not considered as a case where we need a tikkun of a lechi or a korah. However, Omar Rabba, Hadi Amrit, that which Rabbi Yehuda said, the way Rabbi Yosef explained him, that if the Mavui ends up in the Emtza, Le'emtza Rechava, is Mutter. Notice, we don't consider it similar to a Mavui Mefulash. Again, this is all according to Rabbi Yehuda, the way Rabbi Yosef interpreted Rabbi Yehuda. And that's because, again, as we said over and over again, the Mavui and the Rechava are two separate entities, so the Mavui ends up in the Rechava. Lo Amar, and that only applies that Kula Ella Zeh Shelo Keneged Zeh. That only applies when the Pirtza of the Mavui, that breakage in the wall that separates the, that used to separate the Mavui from the Rechava, is Keneged, it corresponds to the Pirtzes Rechava L'Shus Harab, to the opening of the Rechava on the other end of the Rechava in L'Shus Harab. And therefore, it's not this Mavui is not considered Nireh Kemefulash. It doesn't look at all like a Mefulash. Why? Because it's Zeh Shalom Keneged Zeh, which means that the Pirtzes Rechava is situated in a different location than the end of the Mavui. So if you're looking down from the opening to the Mavui, you will see a wall at the end of the Rechava. You will not see an entranceway. However, Aval Zeh Keneged Zeh, but if you were to look through the Mavui and the Pirtza at the end of the Rechava into Rishus HaRabim is exactly, as we said, as the arrow flies, corresponds to a straight beeline from the opening of the Mavui out to Rishus HaRabim, then, according to Rabbah, Rabbi Yehuda would agree in such a case that it's Nireh Kimefulash. It looks like Mefulash. Omar Rav Mesharshia Hodi Amrit Zeh Shelo Keneged Zeh Mutar. That which we say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if the Mavui ends up in the middle of the Rechava, and we see the Mavui and the Rechava as two separate entities, in a case of, the way Rabbah interpreted the case of Zeh Shelo Keneged Zeh, because the opening of the Rechava into Rishus HaRabim is on the side, and therefore it's Mutar Lo Amarin El Rechava De Rabim, Avol Rechava De Yachid. There's a difference between the Rechava that's privately owned, it's private property, as opposed to a Rechava that is shared by many people. And what's the difference between the two? Why should it make any difference? Rav Masharsh explains, the Zimnin de Mimlach Allah Ubani La Batim. It's very possible that this owner is fickle, that he decides that he wants to build homes in that Rechava because it's his private property. And then what he might do, he might build these homes in the width of the Rechava until the opening between the Rechava and the Mavui is going to be Havile Mavui Shekol Etzidei Rechava V'yasa. In other words, he's going to shift the whole situation in such a way that when he builds these other houses, it's not that the Mavui will open up directly into the Rechava, because now he's put up buildings at the end of the Mavui, and now that Pirtza of the Rechava into Rishus HaRabim is on the side, which we said, according to Rabbah, in a case of, actually, before Rabbah, we said it already, that if it's a kolo letzidei rechava asur, right? That was what Rabbi Yosef had said. Uminah tamer d'shani le, is there some sort of a source, a basis, a precedent, for making a distinction between a public area and a private area? Minole Tishani Le Bain Rachava the Rabin Rachava the Yachid, the Omar Ravin Bar Ad Omar Rav Yitzchak Maisim Mavui Echad. We're talking about a Mavui, and it didn't have walls on both its sides like a normal Mavui. This is not a classic case of a Mavui, but rather Tzido Echad Kol Yam, Tzido Echad Kol Ashba. So in front of these houses, you have a row of houses. There's an alleyway in front of the houses that ends in a Rishus HaRabim. And instead of having walls to the right and to the left, what you have is, on one side, coming out of your houses, we'll call it the right side, you have Ashpa. That's a rubbish bin. So you pile up your rubbish, and if it reaches the height of Asar Tfachim, which is about, waist height, then it becomes a mechitza. On his left side, he has a yam. He's got a river of some sort, a body of water. And the sfas hayam, meaning the ground above the water, is 10 Tfachim above the water. And we always said that the height of 10 tefachim gives you a mechitza. So you have now an imaginary mechitza from the Sfas Hayom, which is 10 tefachim above the water. And on the other side, you have a real mechitza that's made up of ashpa, of rubbish. Now, the third mechitza is the facade of the house, or the facade of the of that row of homes. So this case came up, and the question was, can we be matir this mavui like a classic mavui, because it has the three mechitzas, and just put up a lechi or a korah? And Rebbe did not give us an answer. He was vacillating back and forth. The Gemara explains why. Iser lo amar bodo kaimi mechitzas. He couldn't say that this mavui is aser and you can't be matir with a lechi because it does have three mechitzos. But heter lo amar ba, he didn't want to be matir because chayshinan, he was afraid shema tinot ela ashpa, that maybe at some point the rubbish will be cleared out. You know, they'll take it down to the dumping grounds, and there's no longer a mechitza. And in addition, he had another statistical worry on his head. Yala Hayam Siraton. It could be that as the waters and the waves carry the chol and the avonim, the refesh, the tit, all the stuff that's on the bottom of the river, then it might push up, you know, to the side in such a way that you no longer have a mechitza on the Sfas Hayam. So the Gemara says, Umi chayshinon shematinot ala ashpa. How are we going to justify Rebbe that he has a halachic consideration, a suspicion that the ashpa will be taken away? We're going to prove from a Mishnah later on in Masechta Erevin that we're not afraid that the ashpa will be taken away. And what does it say in that Mishnah? Ashpa, you have a whole long, you know, tall dumping ground that's full of rubbish, and it's in the middle of Rishus HaRabim, but it has the height of 10 tefachim, it has the width of 4 tefachim square, which means it has the status of Rishus HaYochid. Now a person is living in the house next to this rubbish dumping ashpa, and he has a chalon, he has a window, shalgava, that is on top, let's say he's on the second floor, or whatever, he's a little bit higher up. And Zorkin Lo B'Shabbos, he's allowed to take his rubbish on Shabbos and throw it from his window, from a Rishus HaYochid, his house, onto the ashpa, this gal, this wave, this hill of an ashpa, of a garbage dump, because it has the dimensions of Rishus HaYochid. And he's throwing from one Rishus HaYochid to another Rishus HaYochid. And let's assume it's above 10 tefachim, so we don't have a problem of going through Rishus HaRabim. Anyway, V'ein choshesh, we're not afraid that maybe they're going to take away the rubbish, or they're going to reduce the rubbish, it will no longer be 10 tefachim high, and it'll become Rishus HaRabim. And he got used to throwing his rubbish out the window into this rubbish bin, which now is lower than 10 tefachim, and now it has the status of Rishus HaRabim, and he violates the Malach of Hotzah. Alma, we see that the only way we can reconcile this Mishnah with Rebbe is to say Shani Bein Ashpa D'Rabim Le Ashpa D'Yachid, that the case in the Mishnah is a public dumping ground, and therefore we don't assume in such a case that they're going to clear it away. Maybe once in a year they clear it away. But in the case of an Ashpa D'Yachid, which was the Mavui that was brought to the attention of Rebbe, there it's a Yachid, it's an individual privately owned, and he decides to keep his rubbish over there on that side, he may change his mind. And therefore, Hachinami says, the Gemara, this is a proof for Rav Mesharshia, that Shani Bein Rechava D'Rabim, Lebein Rechava D'Yachid. If the Rechava is publicly owned, we're not going to be choshesh that they'll build houses there. But if it's privately owned, then he, on, you know, just as a flimsy decision, he decides that he wants to put up houses in his rechav. It's his private property, and then it becomes a mavi yakol litzidei rechav, which we said was asur. Now the Gemara goes back to the case that was asked of Rebbe for Rabbanon. What did they think about this mavui. Apparently, Rebbe's colleagues, in the case of Mitzido, on one side there's an ashma, on the other side it's kol yam. Chacham thought for sure it's asur, and we're afraid that the ashma will be taken away, or perhaps the water will move all of its chol and all that stuff, the sand and everything, and it'll pile up. In the mavui, therefore, is asur. You get the amri. The Gemara has another transmission. Amar Rav Yosef bar Rav Dimi, Tana v'chachamim matirim. He had a different price, and according to that tradition, the chacham were matir, this mavui betilto, and not choshesh that the ashpa will be removed, we're not choshesh that the yam will be malasirton, and therefore it's mutar. Rav Nachman ein halacha k'divrei chachamim, but even according to that second version where the chacham would make it, we don't paskin like the chachamim, and therefore the mavui is going to be us. Now the Gemara is going to quote a case on this discussion about Sfas Hayom, whether or not you could consider the Sfas Hayom, the ground that's a little bit raised above the water level, where that's considered a machitza. And the Gemara is going to tell us about the city of Sura in Bavel. And the city of Sura in Bavel bordered on the water, on the body of water, and it had many, many alleyways that ended up at the waterfront. And Meremar Posikle Lesura Biuzle. The question was whether or not you can consider all these alleyways, these mvos, as sasum. Why sasum? Because when you go down the alleyway, you have a wall on your right, you have a wall on your left, and you end up at the sea, but the ground is above the sea level, so you have a 10 tefachim height that serves as a third machitz, and then you could just be mati the mavui with a lechi or a korah. And yet, Moreira Paskinet, at the end of each one of these mavois, they're going to require a mat, some sort of a net, that they would set up as a mechitza in order to separate the mavui from the yam. The Omar, and Meremar explained why he was so machmir and he required setting up mechitza at the end of each one of these mavols as they reach the sea. Chayshinon shemayala hayam sirton. We're afraid that they'll get used to using this mavui and at one point there will no longer be a 10 tefachim height at the Sfas Hayom, above the water, and therefore there's no longer mechitza. They're going to continue carrying this, so we're not going to allow it unless we put up a real bona fide mechitza and not rely on the Sfas Hayom. Now, earlier we had a machlokas between Rav and Shmuel about what's called a mavui akom. I mean, that was back on Daf Vav, which is a mavi that goes around. It's like a resh, and it curves around. And you have two openings, two entranceways into this mavoi akom that both spill into Rishus HaRab. And Rav says, we imagine as if it was one straight beeline that takes you from one entranceway into the other entranceway. So it's really a mavi mefulash. And if it's a mavi mefulash, then you need a lechi nakora on one end, and you'll need a tsuris. Oh, I'm sorry. We're going according to Rav. So let's go according to Rav. Rav says it's a mavi mefulash, and he requires a lechi and a korah on each one of the ends of this mavui. But also, because the mavui turns and bends, at that point where it bends, which is called akmumiso, it needs a tsuras hapesach. Shmuel, on the other hand, says it's a mavui sasum, because as you go down the mavui, you'll hit the wall on the bending side of the mavui. As it bends, let's say, towards the top or towards the bottom, whichever direction. And therefore, all you need is two lechis. One lechi at the opening and one lechi at the other. And that's called a mavui sasum. And you don't need any additional tikkun. There's no need for a tsuras ha-pesach. So now we have a story about surah. And again, in the city of surah, hahu mavoi akom, there was a story with one of these bending alleyways that looked like a resh, the Abba Basura in the city of surah. And the two ends, as we said before, open into Rishus HaRabim. Now, those who were on one end of the Mavui, they wanted to be Matir Tiltul, so they set up a Lechi at the top of their Mavui, as it exits into Rishus HaRabim. On the other end, though, there were people who couldn't care less, so they didn't set up a Lechi. So the people on the top, then, therefore, in order to be Matir, they put up a lechi at the makomak memiso. In other words, at the end of that mavui, as it turns towards the left or the right, whichever direction. Now, this second lechi, they made karach budya. They made a kind of a temporary mat that rolls, and it wasn't really a solid piece. Anyway, the osivu bei v'ak memiso, and they set it up at the Makom HaKmemiso. And Amar Rav Chisda, Holokarav Lokishmuel, this action on the part of the Bnei Asura doesn't fit neither into Rav's perspective nor Shmuel. L'Rav di Amar Toroso Kimafulosh. If they were to pass like Rav, and the status of a Mavui Akom is that of a Mavui Mefulosh, then Tzuras HaPesach Boy. Then in the Makom HaKmemimos, it's not enough to put up a Lechi, you have to put up a Tzuras HaPesach. And even if they hold L'Shmuel, D'Yomet Horoso Ki Sosum, the status of a Mavui Akom is that of a Sosum, and all you need is two L'Chayayim at the two ends, then at the Makom HaKmemiso, they don't, just one second. According to Shmuel, right, Toroso Akum. Oh, so very good. So they had one lechi that they put up at the head, going their top, going out to Rishus HaRabim. Then instead of a second lechi at the Makom HaKmemiso, which as we said was the end of that Mavui, where it's Sosem, they needed another lechi. Yeah, but Hani Mili Lechi Ma'alia. They should have put up a real bona fide lechi, a permanent lechi. Well, hi, but this kind of mat that they rolled up, came in the Nasha Bezeka, if a wind will come along, shadile, it'll just blow away this mat. Lav klumu, that doesn't fulfill the requirements of lechi. But the Gemara adds, inoetz beisichta vechabre, if they would take certain pegs and they would bang it into, you know, like nails, nail in the machzeles, this mat, to make sure that it wouldn't blow away, but with a ruach chabre, that would be a real chibur, that would be a real attachment to the ground, and then, according to Shmuel, you'd be allowed to be metaltel in this mavu. Gufa, now we get back to Rav. Omrab Yirmiyo bar Abba Marav Mavui. You have a mavu that rosho pasuach lushus arab, and at the end of the mavu, it opens up into a chutz of a nifratz. And the wall that separates the Mavui from the Chatzer was broken. Bimloa. La Chatzer. So it's completely opened into the Chatzer. And there's nothing left to separate the Mavui from the Chatzer. The Nifritza Chatzer Kinegdo. The Chatzer itself has a breach wall at the end of the Chatzer into Rishus HaRabim. And Rav said that chotzer muteres, right, the pirtza, since it's less than 10 amos, does not generate an isur on the bnei achotzer, and from the chotzer's perspective, they see the shirayim of the mechitz on both sides of the pirtza, therefore it has the status of a pesach, and it doesn't generate an isur on the chotzer. However, as far as, no, now you might ask, but the bnei HaMavui should generate an Iser on the Chatzer, because the Chatzer is Nifritza, it's opened up into the Mavui, and any dinner, that's the general regulation, that any Chatzer that opens up into a Mavui, then it should generate an isur. But here, Eina Neseres Machmosim Nishe B'nei HaMovi Ein Drisus Regel B'chotz, because the B'nei HaMovi have no passageway, no rites of passage into the chotz. But V'Movui Asur, but you're not allowed to be metal to the Movui, because the B'nei HaChotzer generated an isur, if there was no Erev between them, on the B'nei HaMovui. The Mavui is completely parutz into the Chatzer. It opens up into the Chatzer. And the B'nei HaChatzer now generated an Iser on the Mavui. You need an Eruv. Omale, Rabba, Bar Ulol, Rabbi, Bar Bai, Rebbe, Lo Mishnasenu, Hizo. I don't understand, says Rabba to Rabbi. Isn't this a Mishnah? In other words, why would Rav have to teach this if it's already in a Mishnah? This is a Mishnah later on in Erev in Daf Tzadi Beis. It says, Chotzer Ketana Shenifritzol Gdola. If you have a smaller Chotzer that opens up into a larger Chotzer, and there's a Pirtza in the wall that separates these two Chatzeros, then Gdola Muteras and Ketana Asura. Then although you're allowed to carry in the Chatzar Agdola, and the reason for that is because there are ksalim, there are leftover ksalim on the two sides of the Pirtza, and therefore we define this Pirtza as a Pesach, but Ketana Asur, you're not allowed to take kelim that were in the bayis, you're not allowed to take them out to the Chatzar. Why is the Ketana Asura? It becomes like an entranceway into the Gedola. So we see here that basically we have a relativity theory where as far as the Gedola it's Mutter, as far as the Ketana it's Asur. Because from the perspective of the Ketana it's a total open Pirtza. So why do we need Rav? Omolais, or Bibi answered to Abaye, that Rav is adding a chidush here that we could not derive from the Mishnah, that when there's nifritza chatz mishnei tzadeha, l'shus harabim ula mavui, he muteres. Imi hasam, if we only had the Mishnah, we would have said that hani mili, when is the gedola muteres? That's only because there are shirayim of the mechitza on both sides. Hecha delo kadarsi beirabim, and no one is coming in from the Rishus HaRabim into the Chatzar. Well, hecha de kadarsi beirabim, that's the case of Rav, where the Chatzar opens up into Rishus HaRabim. The case of the Mishnah later on is where a smaller Chatzar opens up into a larger Chatzar. But there's no Pirtza that opens the Chatzar to the Rishus HaRabim, so there's no darsi beirabim. And therefore, we would have assumed, perhaps, Ema Afilu Achatz Nami, the Chatz itself is Asura, and the reason for that is because there's a Pirta that allows the Bnei Arabim to just pile into the Chatzir, and that's where Rav wants to tell us, no, even in that case, the Chatzir still remains Mutter, and only the Mavi is Asur. The Gemara says, Hanami Tanina, we have this in a Mishnah as well, a Mishnah in Masechta Taras. And what we have to know about Masechta Taras is that if you have a public area where many people have access to it, then Safek Tuva B'Rishus HaRabim Sveko Tahar. And that's the case of a complicated Chatzer. It's a schizophrenic Chatzer. Why? Chatzer Sheyesh LaShnei Psachim Mishnei, that has two openings into a Chatzer. V'HaRabim Nichnasim LaBaruach Zu V'Yotzim LaBaruach Zu. But the masses of people will go into the Chatzer from one entry, and they'll exit from the other exit, then it's Rishus HaRabim L'Tumah, Rishus HaYochid L'Shabbos. As far as Tumah is concerned, since it's a public area and it's very accessible, therefore it has the status Rishus HaRabim, and the Safek Tumah would be Tahar. But as far as Shabbos is concerned, since it is surrounded by Mechitzos, it has the status of a Rishus HaYochid, even though there are openings in the Mechitza, and many people pile in there. So we see from this Mishnah, already the Chiddush of Rav is already written in the Mishnah in Taras, that Drisus HaRabim in a Chatzah, even though many people from the public area go into the Chatzah, that's not enough to be Mevatel the Mechitzos. So why do I need Rav to tell me this chiddush? And now we turn to Daf. Oh wait, we still have one more line. I'm sorry. Imi hasam hava mina hani bili zeh shelo keneged zeh. If we only had the Mishnah in Taras, I would have said that that's talking about a case of a chotzer, that they go in this way and they go out that way, but it's zeh shelo keneged zeh. In other words, the two openings into the chotzer are not aligned properly. Now we turn to Cheslamid Beis. Avol zeh keneged zeh, but maybe if the two openings in the walls of the chatzah lead one directly into the other, Eimalo, then it doesn't have a status of Rishus HaYachi because the Rabim Darsim, but they go straight through. Is therefore I need the Chiddush of Rav, that even in that case, the chatzah is still mutter. Mar asks Ula Rabba, the Omar, Zeh Keneged Zeh Asur. Rabba was the one who said that if the opening into the chatzer leads you to another opening directly aligned into Rosh Hashanah Rabban, has a din of a mavui mefulash, is hard to Rav b'may mukile. How is Rabba going to understand the din of Rav that a mavui shenifrat, menifrat ha-chatzer kenegdo, the mavui is mutter, and all you need is an eruv? And the answer is that it's yesh bezesh alo keneged zeh. It must be that Rav is talking about a case where the opening of the chatzer into the Rosh Hashanah Rabban is not directly corresponding to the opening from the other side of the Rosh Hashanah Rabban. It is entirely lomali. So once again, we don't need two of them because, you know, we're going to have to assume that we're talking about zeh shelo keneged zeh. You wanted to say it's a case of zeh keneged zeh. So Gemara answers, imi hasam hava mina hani mili lizrok. Maybe what the Mishnah in Taras had in mind when it said that the status of this chatzer is still a rishus hayoch, that's only lizorik, that's being machmir, that a person who stands in a rishus harab and he throws into his chatzer, he'll be chayev chatos. Avol l'taltel, but as far as the din of tiltel, that he should be allowed to be metaltal inside the chatzah more than arba amas, emolo, maybe I would have said that the chacham should make a gzeri here and they should ask the tiltul, because it's Rav in Bokerbo, they go from one side to the other, kamash v'lon, that's what Rav wants to tell me, that the chatzah is mutter, even on a derabbanan level. Itmar, we learned the following case, mavui ha'asui kinedel. Nadal is what we call in modern Hebrew marbet raglaim, like it's a kind of a spider that has many legs to it. And we have now a mavui where what happens is you enter into this mavui on one side and immediately you turn either to your right or to your left into a mavui, and there are a bunch of houses that are lined up along this mavui, this great gigantic mavui, and each set of houses has a little mavui between them. So you enter into Rosh Hashanah Rabban into the main mavui, then you turn to your right, or you go a little further to your right or to your left in either direction. So coming out of this main mavui, you have many different legs, so to speak. You have different mavos ktanim, and that makes it look like this kind of a crawling creature that has many legs. And basically what we have here in front of us is a situation where at the end of this long mavui, you turn towards the right, past the last house on the row, out into Rosh Hashanah Rabban. So you have what's called a misakem besofo. And after you make that bend, it's now mefulosh into Rosh Hashanah Rabban. So how would they be mitakeh in this mavui? And here we have machlok shin abai v'rov. Omar Abaye, Ose Tzuras HaPesach La Gadol, you know, it's to the main entrance into this gigantic mavui, you set up a Tzuras HaPesach, and Vahanach Kulu, and as far as the small mavos are concerned, that open up into this large mavui, is Mishteru B'lechi V'kora. According to Abaye, all you have to do is put up a lechi or a korah, for each one of these small mevos. Amalei Rava, so Rava says to Abaye, we had a machlokas before between Rav and Shmuel as far as a mavoi akom is concerned, which has two ends that open up into Shusa Rav, and Rav held it that it had a din of a mavoi mefulash, and you need not only a lechem and a kori on both ends, but even at the makom akmemiso, we need to set up a tzuras ha-pesach. And Shmuel said his din, that a mavi akom is considered like a mavi sasum, and all it needs is two lechis on both ends that end up in Rishus HaRabim. You don't need any sort of tikkun in akvimimus. And therefore, keman, which one of these two shitas did you paskin like when you gave your ruling? That even that all of these mavos that are mifulashim le'ikum, that they could be mutter through a lechi or a korah at any ends. And you did not require a tzuras ha-pesach b'mokom ha-kmimimus. Kishmuel. It must be that you accepted the view of Shmuel, diomar toroso kisasu. But now, let's go back to Abai for a moment. Abai said that entering into the mavi gadol, you need a tzuras ha-pesach, and the smaller mavos need a lechi and a korah. So Rava asks Abaye, if you're passing like Shmuel and you don't need a tzuras ha-pesach b'mokom ha-kmemisu as Rav would have required, is toroso kisosum, is lomali tzuras ha-pesach b'rosho? Why then do you need a tzuras ha-pesach in the main entranceway into the mavi gadol? Even if it's a mavi akum, but according to Shmuel, all you need is a lechi and a korah b'rosho. V'odin, furthermore, I would ask you the following question. How could you be making like Shmuel, who mavi akum davi min ardoi chashu l'rav? In the case of Nardoi, they had a mavi akum in the city of Nardoi, and nevertheless they were machmir in the city of Shmuel for Rav Shita, to require a tzuras ha-pesach b'mokom ha-kmemisa. Elam Rava, Rava said, no. What are we going to do with this mavui ha-asui ki nadol? Is he says, ose tzuras ha-pesach lekulhu. In other words, every one of these mavos will require a tzuras ha-pesach lahai gisa, on the side that links up into the mavi gadol. Wow, so imagine you have each mavi going, you know, coming out of the mavi gadol, each one is going to need its own tzuras ha-pesach to enter into that mavi. And that's based on the sheet of Rav. The idach gisa. And on the other side of the mavui, which enters out into Rishus HaRabim, is Mishteru Bil Lechi V'Kora. Each one of these smaller mavos will have to have a Lechi or a Kora. And as far as the mavui Gadol is concerned, so then it would seem that the mavui Gadol is going to need a Lechi at one end, and it's tzuras ha-pesach b'mokom ha-kmemisa. Because all the way at the end of this mavi, it turns and bends towards Rishus HaRab. And basically, what Rav is saying is that we pass in like Rav, that a mavi akom has a din of a mavi mefulash. Amar Rav Kahana bar Tachlifo Mishmei Rav Kahana bar Miniyomi Mishmei Rav Kahana bar Malkio Mishmei Rav Kahana Mishmei Rav Kahana Rabbi Rav. The Amri later others say Rav Kahana bar Malkio. Hainu Rav Kahana Rabbi Darav. Mavoi, you have a mavoi that enters, opens into Rishus HaRabim. Shebetzido ha-echad aruch, ubetzido ha-echad katzar. So you have two walls on the sides of the mavoi. One on the right, one on the left. The one on the right is much longer than the one on the left. And now you want to put up a korah to be matir this mavui. So the sheet of Rav Kahana is that pachos mi arba amos, if the length of one of the walls does not exceed 4 amos vis-a-vis the length of the shorter wall, then meniaches a korva lachson. He's allowed to set up a korah on a diagonal, going from the longer wall to the shorter wall. And then, as a result, he's allowed to be metaltal in this mavui up to the korah. In other words, as long as he has a korah above his head, then he gains all that area on the tzad ha'aruch, on the longest side. But arba amos, if on the other hand the longer wall exceeds the shorter wall by 4 amos of length, eino meniach es ha'kora ela keneged ha'kotzar. He's not allowed to set up a diagonal kora, but rather now he needs a 90 degree kora. And the reason for that is because if there's if the wall exceeds 4 amos or more, that already sets up a mavui unto itself, and it would need 2 walls on both sides of the mavui in order to be matirit. And in this case, he's only to be allowed to be carried from the end of the shorter wall, because that's where the korah is going to go across to the longer wall. Rava Amar, Rava disagrees. Echad zevi echad zeh. Even if the longer wall is more than the shorter wall by 4 amos. Eino meniachas hakora ela. I'm sorry, even if it's less than 4 amos. Is eino meniachas hakora ela keneged hakotzar. He must have a 90 degree angle coming straight across the korah from one side to the other. The Ema Taima Didi, the Ema Taima Didhu. I'm going to explain my logic, and I'm going to explain your logic. Ema Taima Didi, Kora my Taima Mishum Heker, Balakson Lo Avi Heker. When you put a Kora on an angle, that's not going to remind the people that this is a Kora that's been put up in order to separate the Mavui. Because that part of the mavui that goes beyond the shorter wall doesn't look like it's part of the mavui. So the bnei mavui who use that mavui, they're going to think that just like it's mutter to use that area beyond the wall, then you know what? I can use a rishus harabim as well. The ema taima didhu. Let me explain your logic. Kora mishumai mishumachita. You hold that a kora has the status of machita, which means that the outside end of the korah is yored v'sosim. We imagine it as if it goes down and closes off the fourth area, the fourth side of the mavui. Ubalakso nami avi mechitza. And what's bad about a diagonal korah that also could be considered a mechitza, even though it's on a diagonal? Omer Rav Kahana, hoil. Shmaitata dekahanihi. In other words, this sugya, as far as a mavui, which has one wall that exceeds beyond the length of the other wall, is a sugya that was passed a tradition amongst many scholars that are called kahani. Remember that whole long list that we went through before. Ema be milsa. I'm also a kahana, so I also have something to say. Hadi amrit meniach korah balakson. That which we said, according to the original Rav Kahana, that you're allowed to set up a korah on an angle. Amoron, lo amoron ela she'ein balaksano yoser mi eser. That the length of this alakson, from the beginning of the kosel, that kosel that's longer, until the top of the kosel that's shorter, is not more than 10 amos. So let's say, for example, if you have a very narrow mavui, then even if you mitzaref to the rochav, the blitas ha-kosel ha-aruch, it won't give you an alakson that's more than 10 amos. Aval yesh ba alaksano yoser be eser. But if on the other hand the Mavli is much wider, and therefore if you're going to be mitzaris the rochav of the aruch of the orach with a blitas hakosel aruch, then you'll have an alak zone of 10 amos. Is divrei kol eino meniach el keneged hakotzer. In that case, everybody would agree that the long korah, which will require more than 10 amos, cannot be used as a korah, and the korah would not be meaningful to allow you to carry in the opening area of the width. And finally, ibaylahu malish tameish tachas hakorah. The Gemara had a suffix in the case of a mavui that has a korah. Are you allowed to be mishtamesh even directly below the korah? Or maybe the korah is only matir beyond the korah? And Rav, Rav Chia, Rav Yochanan, Rav Mutal lishtamesh tachas hakorah, but Shmuel, Rav Shimon, Bar Rebbe, Rav Shimon, Bel Lakish, Amru, also lishtamesh tachas hakorah. Lema v'haka miflagi, Mar Sovar Korah Mishum Heker, Mar Sovar Korah Mishum Mechitza. Those who say it's mutter, and you could carry underneath the Korah, directly underneath the Korah, they hold that a Korah is a Heker. So if a person is underneath the Korah, he looks up and he sees the Korah. Mar Sovar, the other opinion is, also Lishtamish Taksa Korah, because Korah is Mishum Mechitza. We need a fourth Mechitza to close up the Mavi on the fourth side. And the mechitza starts mihuda pnimi from the inner lip of the korah, so to speak. Meaning the outside of the korah on the inside. So what says lo? No, the kuli alma, everybody agrees korah mishum heker. V'hacha v'hacha miflagi. What's a machlokas? Mar sovar kera milago. U'mar sovar hekera milabar. One opinion says that the heker is for the people inside the mavui, right? Because we have to separate that mavui from the rishus harabim, and that's being done for, on behalf of the bnei mavui to make sure that they understand not to carry out into rishus harabim. And as far as the mavui, the bnei mavui is concerned, the heker is on the inside of the korah because they're inside the mavui. Umar Sava, the one who says you're allowed to use and carry underneath the korah, hekera milabar. The heker is meant primarily for those who are on the outside, that they should know that if they're in the Theron Rishus Arabim, they shouldn't enter into this mavui. And if so, then they see the korah right on top of their heads. Ibois Ema, the kuli alma mishum mechitza. Everybody agrees that the function and purpose of the korah is mishum mechitza. Achuk b'hakam ifli. Mar sovra chudu apnimi. Yored v'sosim v'mar sovar chudu achitzon. Yored v'sosim. So if you have the thickness of the korah, where do you drop down this imaginary mechitza? From the outside or from the inside? Amar av chizda kol modim b'bein l'chayayim sha'aser. All the amorim that argue above as to whether or not you're allowed to carry underneath the korah, they agree that if you set up a mavui with a tikkun of a lechi, and not a korah, then you're not allowed to carry keneged alechi, because there's no thickness, there's no minimum requirement of thickness in the lechi. The lechi could be as thin as a string, even a mashu. And therefore, we're afraid that if we're going to allow you to carry keneged alechi, they're going to come to carry chas shalom out into rishus harabim, because it's such a small, thin line. In a case of a korah, which has a rochav of a tefach, then we're not afraid that he might come and carry out into Rishus Aram. So this is where we're going to stop for today. Boy minei Rami Bar Chama Mei Rav Chizda. That's four lines up before the end of Daf Ches Amid Beis.